Broadcasting back at the WCCO Radio Buick Studios, this is 830 WCCO.
I asked the crack management staff here, and can you pay for my, I want to park in the Lincoln, what is it, the Lincoln still? Over here, the
Lincoln
lot?
Rec. No, that's where Morgan plays.
No, the Lincoln building.
Oh,
the big tall building. No, it's something else. Metropolitan building.
Metropolitan.
I had that in my contract for about 9 years. You know,
right?
Station paid for it, so I thought I talked to the crack management staff here, and Wendy, the program director, gave me a handful of quarters. She says, "Quarter the meter like the rest of the guys." I said, "Thanks."
Steve Cannon talking about the crack management staff at WCCO. John Rash sitting in for Don Shelby in this 48-degree night at 524. We're going to now talk to a member of that crack management staff as we remember the life and legacy of Steve Cannon. Remember, you can go to our website at WCCOradio.com, hear a lot more of those audio clips, and share your thoughts of Steve. And Steve Goldstein joins us. He is now with the University of Minnesota Foundation, but from 1986 to 1992, was often cracked about as a member of that crack management staff. Steve, welcome back to WCCO.
Oh, thanks, John. Under these circumstances, it was unfortunate, but it's good to be back.
Well, it's great to have you here, and indeed very, very sad circumstances. And we thought we'd have you back to, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, your memories of Steve and your memories of being talked about, you know, by Steve on the radio.
Well, you know, it broke my heart this morning. Mm-hmm. I called Jerry, his wife, and left a message. I have to tell you, it really was one of the highlights of my professional life to know and work with Steve. And I mean, the guy was remarkable, really unique talent. And you know, of course, things flash into your mind, you know, memories. And there were two of them that in particular. One was, I remember walking down the hall, and he motions for me to come into the studio. And the basement studio, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked.
We're not
in
allowed to go down there anymore,
that,
you know. So
the old days, you know, it was a rare occurrence, but he did allow me the opportunity. And benevolent that he was, he motions for me to come into the studio, and I sit down there, and it was a commercial, and we were talking about a sponsor. Then, boom, he goes on the air, and I watch this man transform himself into these characters, mm-hmm. Mollinger and Backlash LaRue, and while I'm watching him. And, you know, have a very thoughtful and hilarious conversation with himself, right? And so I'm thinking to myself, what have I got myself into? The other thing is that I noticed he had this gigantic grocery bag mm-hmm. on the floor filled with scraps of paper, right? And so it was his research and mm-hmm. it was his preparation. It was a system. And I said to him, you know, this is an absolute mess. You know, how is it that a human can actually, you know, prepare for a show? So, I mean, it wasn't exactly confidence building. But I remember, mm-hmm. you know, those were my early lessons on, you know, the uniqueness of this man, both in terms of his preparation and what he was able to do.
A paper bag as a briefcase, you know, per se.
It was unbelievable. You know, yeah. he'd cut articles and, you know, he'd save up materials for, you know, for the wisdom that he would impart.
You know, Steve, you're mentioning that you know, of course, got to witness him have this three and often four-way conversation with three of his core characters, and we just had Tommy Mischke from formerly of KSDP and as well as uh-huh. Dark, who said there were other characters as well. And Tom made the point of how agile Steve Cannon's mind was, and, you know, beyond being funny and being clever and accessible and approachable, you have to be really sharp to be able to do that, the theater of his mind and all of us being able to tap into it, don't you?
Well, you know, it was remarkable, and it was so seamless, and he would actually contort his face. I mean, he became those characters. And, you know, it was just remarkable, the kind of in-depth conversation and the personality that each of them would take on. You can't describe it. You have to clearly have listened to it as we had for so many years.
Now, one element we haven't spoken about, I'm from the marketing and advertising world, and you talked mm-hmm. about him talking about an advertiser. He put as much energy, you know, into his sponsors and into advertising as he did to his characters, didn't he?
Oh, it was remarkable. And clearly that's why he was, you know, of such a demand over the years. But he was very professional, understood the value of the commercials, and, you know, typically he did not represent unless he felt strongly for those products that he would endorse. And when he felt strongly about it, he was very legitimate and passionate And that's why it was, of course, so successful, because he was very credible, and he believed it.
Well, of course, one of the things he believed in, was passionate about, was the University of Minnesota, which is where you are now, at the University of Minnesota Foundation, but formerly general manager here at WCCO. Steve Goldstein, thank you very much for joining us and sharing your memories of Steve Cannon.
My pleasure, John. We'll miss him greatly. He's unique and special, and what a great opportunity for those of us who had a chance. And